When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Tracy Koga, and thanks for downloading this podcast from ilikehugh.com. If you can, give us a follow or a subscribe. And remember that all the information about the guests in today's episode can be found at ilikehugh.com. Now, let's get started. Hi everyone, I'm Tracy Koga, and welcome to Hugh at Home. It is officially spring, but will we get that last snow day before the end of the month? That's usually what we brace ourselves for every year. But this one's different. We're all anxiously waiting to get vaccinated and then embrace freedom, or not. Well, whether or not, let's just laugh. And the Winnipeg Fringe has been doing just that with free shows all this month on their YouTube and Facebook page. I'm going to check this one out. It's on March 31st, and it's called Eye Candy, featuring Stephanie Morin Roberts, who you're going to get to meet right now. Well, it is always good to have a really good laugh. And, well, the Winnipeg Fringe is doing just that with their winter series, and I am so happy and excited to be chatting with Stephanie, who has a new play out called Eye Candy. It's coming up March 31st, but you know what? That's not too far away, Stephanie. And I was just attracted because of the storyline. And folks, the storyline, you know, I'll just give maybe a little bit of a warning. Correct, Stephanie?
Totally. It's fun to take something that was just a complete life-changing experience and stage it and layer it with comedy. Because as we know, there's all these things happening, especially like the pandemic, whether it's grieving a loved one, but birth, there's so much that could happen and the adventures that come along with it. Whether things go as smoothly as possible, it's still crazy what happens to our bodies as women when we give birth. And there's so much that happened during the 56-hour labor of my firstborn. And it's nice and actually healing to be able to share it and layer it with comedy, as I mentioned, because laughter is definitely contagious and healing.
Okay, so let's talk about 56 hours, Stephanie. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Oh, my goodness. But now thinking back at it, it's, you know, I think about now I understand what pre-labor is and easing into, you know, being fully dilated and all of that. I think, it was a marathon, basically. My secondborn, a lot faster, but it wouldn't have made such an interesting show. So I'm excited to share the adventure that happened between my partner and I, whether it was him passing out on top of me just as I was about to push her out, or, you know, just events like that, or them running me a bath because I wanted a water birth. And just as I put my feet in the water, I realized that it's burning hot and the cold water wasn't working. Just all of these curveballs that I just had to go with. And then, of course, the lovely arrival, which I won't share too much about, but it's lovely to be able to share this story.
Aw. I guess through this whole journey, too, Stephanie, when you're looking back at it all, how has it changed you as a person and also as a mother?
You know, it changed me because I wasn't a mother before having this baby, and that transition is so underrated. Whether it's the transition of what it is to be pregnant, and to deliver a baby. It's so underrated. I walked out of that hospital. I stumbled out of that hospital just thinking, looking at all of the mothers I know and meet and just being in awe of what they've been through to become a mother, to enter motherhood. So it really changed me in the way, my appreciation for mothers in general, my own mothers, mother figures in my life, but also changed me as a person, because your whole life shifts in such a big way. Like all of a sudden, I am second. It's like my priority is my kids, and you kind of have to shed that identity. And this is where themes like, you know, postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, the challenges around nursing, the challenges around being intimate with your partner afterwards, and whether you're ready or not for that. These are all things that a lot of mothers go through that you don't really hear so much about. Yeah, all the things, the advice, unsolicited feedback. It's like, it's amazing. I feel like I've entered into this, like, motherhood, a bigger understanding of the joys and lovely things, of course, but also the struggle, the realness, the vulnerability that you're faced with. It's just, it blows my mind. I can't believe it.
If we get back to the show, where do you begin and how did you pick the experiences that, you know, you wanted to portray, and then how did you manage to weave it into a full story?
Yeah, I structured out the show in a way that felt logical, following the pregnancy, you know, following the different terms all the way to the delivery of the baby. And it was great to be able to refer back to a journal I kept and pictures, and actually include them in the show, show pictures of me along the way, and just layer it with unapologetic humor to really show the realness behind it all. And I selected the moments by using at first improvisation, and I use the Fringe Circuit to shape and develop a lot of my work, because when you tour the Fringe Circuit, you could have like 60 shows over the course of a few months, and every night shape and try different things. And for me, the audience really informs what I do, because my clown training, and it's a duo, it's an exchange. And now in this new reality of performing virtually without an audience, you know, I'm taking away a whole part of the script. And I'm so pleased that I was able to workshop it with an audience to be able to know what hits, what doesn't, what feels good, what to stretch, what to shorten. When I say stretch and shorten, it's funny because there's so many parallels when you're talking about childbirth. But, I'm excited to adjust and shift the show to this new virtual platform, and which I've been doing for all of my work, working from a home stream studio and just making it work. So this show, it'll be the first time I ever perform it virtually without an audience. Before the actual performance, I have 3 days of tech and workshopping in this space where I'm really going to adapt it. So I'm about to enter that process at the end of this month, and I'm really excited to give it a new life.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, like you said, like you've been getting used to this virtual, and especially for fringe actors that rely so heavily on the audience and that energy. I know doing things virtually, it just sometimes, I guess, becomes one-dimensional. Now, the play's called Eye Candy. So is there a story behind the name?
Yeah, so I have another solo show that I toured a lot in that has kind of shaped me into a full-time performer. I've toured all over the world with this show. It's called Blindside, and it's about my childhood coming to terms with my disability and losing my left eye to cancer. So Eye Candy is kind of an extension of that. It is the part one, me becoming a mother, becoming an adult, and still being who I am, which is a person with a disability, with a glass eye. And so that is a theme that remains within, and that I definitely used throughout the poster eye candy. It's me wearing a breast pump with a glass eye in my mouth and this really kind of powerful pose. It's empowering, it's vulnerable, it's raw. And that's exactly what birth is all about. So yeah, I guess I would say anything eye related has kind of become my trademark. And this is very much a sequel to Blindside without having to see Blindside to fully enjoy it.
Wow. I mean, what you've accomplished, Stephanie, and truly now I think I understand more on how you feel so emotional about being a mother. And yeah. Now the responsibility of, yes, they're young and they depend on you, but they do grow up and it will be another journey, right? Another mm-hmm. new experience. So, I mean, it's so wonderful that you are on that journey. And you had mentioned your partner or husband. How has that relationship grown with sharing a child?
You know, you go, we, it was a clear decision for us. We were very lucky that we were able to get pregnant and plan it the way we did for our first pregnancy. And, we felt strong, connected, ready to become parents. And then you become parents and you realize that you just have, you become even stronger and more, you have to, mm-hmm. you have to survive.
Yes. Oh yes.
Yeah, it's brought us so much closer, and we have a bit of an unconventional family setup where most of our relationship has been on the road. We met touring. We toured together. We didn't live anywhere. We lived in his truck for a little bit. It was just like we were fully immersed in what we were doing. And as we managed to make it our full-time career and make a living, you know, we bought a house together, and then we decided to have a kid. And then that really shifted things. But all the timing was kind of the silver lining of the pandemic for us, because the arrival of our second born, Jack, now we have two kids, it was timed perfectly because we couldn't tour. It made me stop, ground myself. We did some nesting. We, you know, settled into our home. And that was necessary. Mm-hmm. We're both full-time performers, so we are hungry for opportunity, and we never stop. And only when I actually had to stop did I realize how burnt out I was. Mm-hmm. Having gone through a whole pregnancy, the birth, the early ages, and not stopping, still touring throughout. Like my last performance was when I was eight months pregnant. And I was performing again when I was 2 months postpartum. So it was a lot. And then with Jack, I got to re-experience all again, but do it in a nice, slow, grounded, static way without extra visitors coming in and out, because they couldn't come. So anyway, yeah. it was great.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, I think it's such a wonderful experience, and you know, pandemic, yes, it's had its heavy toll on all of us, but it's nice to know that there are some silver linings and there are some positive things, and definitely being able to take time and step back and be a parent, be a mom or dad or whatever, is truly a blessing. I have only one request. Can we see Jack and Olive?
Oh my gosh, I would totally say yes, but they are finally settled upstairs.
Okay, no. Do not disturb a sleeping baby.
But I do have a picture just right here of my sister and I.
Oh, there you go.
And there we go.
Happy ending to the story.
Right next to me. Well, there's babies. And yeah, I'm excited. And while I don't want to minimize the grief and the hardship that mm-hmm. we've experienced over the last year, we're really fortunate to have these types of opportunities to still share our work, share our stories. Thank you for taking the time to cover it.
Well, I can hardly wait to see you live on stage, Stephanie, but it's Stephanie Moran Robert. Her play is called Eye Candy. You can go to the website winnipegfringe.com. Eye Candy is going to be on Wednesday, March 31st at 7:30 p.m. And it is free streaming on YouTube and Facebook at Winnipeg Fringe. I think I've got all that information. But it's lovely meeting you, Stephanie.
You too.
Yes,
you.
Hugs to Olive and Jack. And hopefully we'll see them on stage with their mom and dad. That'd be a great segue for a new play.
Okay, bye.
Girl, you know what's up.
Welcome back to Hugh at Home. Still to come, a new episode of Robin Priest's Let's Get Your Human Back Again with special guest Jana Couture. But first, I am so happy that hair salons are open again. We have an exciting new hair segment featuring Verde stylist Colleen. She's going to show us how simple it is to get our glam back again with some beautiful Hollywood-style curls.
Hi, I'm Colleen, the education director for the Verde Salon Group. Today I'm going to show you how to do a loose, beautiful Hollywood glam style wave using a flat iron. You can also use a curling iron or a wand, whatever you're most comfortable with. You'll curl all your hair one way and then brush it out, revealing this beautiful soft curl. I hope you enjoy. So before I use any hot tools in my hair, I always use the Aveda Heat Relief. So it's a heat protector, protects your hair up to 450 degrees, and it's also a dry conditioning mist, and it has our shampoo aroma, which is just beautiful. So I mist it throughout all my hair, and then using the Aveda paddle brush, I'm gonna comb it through. So all of these Aveda products are available at verdesalon.ca right now. We deliver over $50, or you can pick up at either one of our Bridgewater or Seasons locations. You can also pick up at the AAW school in the exchange. So let's split it into a few different sections. Usually I do three to four sections. You might do two to three sections. I have a lot of hair. So here we go. Section one. And I'm not getting too crazy because I am going to be brushing it out afterwards. So I'm starting keeping my curling iron vertical, and I'm starting at the base, giving it one twist, holding the ends, and then pulling it all the way to the end. It's okay if you get a little extra hair caught in there, and letting it go. There's curl one. Don't brush it out before you go on to the next curl. Let it cool, and then we'll brush it out afterwards. You can see my little pokies coming out from underneath. So I had an undercut for a while, it's growing back. So now I just have this cute little, it's not cute actually. I don't know what I call it. So again, this side I'm gonna be curling towards the face. Again, turn, and pull straight out. And let it stay. Okay, so my hair looks a little crazy. It's kind of the moment of truth, but I'm gonna spray in a little bit more air control. plan to spray in some of the Shampure Dry Shampoo, which is unbelievable. It's non-aerosol, which is my favorite, and it also has a Shampure aroma. Tilt it upside down. And it sprays out. A little sprays everywhere. And then, I'm gonna scare some of you with this, we're gonna comb through. Some light elements. It's called texturizing cream. It's great for all hair types. It's really light. Helps either give like a piecey finish or like my ends are a little bit dry, so I want to make them look nice and healthy. So between my hands. So if I want to glam this up even more, I'm going to use a Birch Accessories clip, which is available on birchaccessories.ca. This is the Charlotte clip. You can dress it up, dress it down, which is why I absolutely love it. It holds hair really well, whether you have fine hair or super thick hair. So I'm going to clip this off here. So I think I'd like the thinner section, the finer section, to go behind my ear. Slightly, it just gives like a nice little extra like bling, and I'll also take some before and after pictures so you can see it from every angle. Thanks for watching.
Well, this is very exciting. It is the beginning of a brand new series, a relationship with Robin Priest. You have known Robin to be on the Hue Virtual Chat, now joining us on Hue at Home with a new series called Let's Get Our Human Back. So without further ado, I am going to throw it over to Robin and maybe do a little introduction for our guest here today.
Hi, Tracy, and hi, everyone. Thanks for letting us have this discussion. I just want to give you a little bit about what this series is, and then I'll do an intro to our lovely guest today. It came from me wanting to say, when we talk about mental health, it really is just about being real and being in a conversation. And I think for me, it's just about getting our human back. It's about being with people and having conversations and realizing that we're not alone and that lots of people are dealing with kind of mental health issues on a scale of I'm doing really well today to, oh my gosh, everything feels like it's falling apart. And I wanted to kind of reach out and bring some people to have a chat and talk about their life where maybe it wasn't that great at times and how they got through it and what they're doing now. And really one of the things for me is talking about the essence of like sharing with each other and that peer support aspect. So I'm pretty excited today. Our first guest, Janica Tuer, I've known her for a number of years and just a complete inspiration to me for what she's gone through personally and also in terms of with her family. So I might just throw it over, Jana, if you can tell us a little bit about like who you are and what you do now and then maybe share a little bit about your story.
Yeah, so thank you, Robin and Tracy, for having me join you today and have discussions. Just as Robin had said, for me, getting our human back on and having real conversations with people is something that's very near and dear to my heart. So a little bit about me. I am I'm an Indigenous woman that has lived quite a life myself with quite a background of trauma and mental health challenges. I currently am working as a peer support worker, and I'll get into that a little bit later on, but I guess along my journey and during the course of the last 40 years of my life, I've really realized what was missing along my journey and what I was needing. And in those moments, way back when, and still sometimes now, when I suffer, I see the importance of peer support, the importance of being able to have conversations where people will listen to me wholeheartedly for who I am, having no judgments and just being there in that moment with me. So
Jenna, do you want to share a little bit with the viewers, a little bit of your kind of background, like where you were and kind of where you've come to now?
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to the beginning, I was a child, I was adopted as a child, and I didn't know up until recently that I was adopted from a mother who was part of the 60s scoop. And so growing up, my adoptive family, phenomenal, very supportive, loving parent, wonderful brother, couldn't have asked for a better family. But they also weren't given the proper information or any information on where I came from, my roots, any of that. So for 18 years, I didn't know where I came from, my background of any. I am a child survivor of sexual abuse. And so growing up, I definitely had some struggles. I struggled with being able to maintain friendships. I struggled with being able to have close relationships with adults and trusting adults. And I guess ways that I would cope with that were unhealthy ways. I always say I had such wonderful parents, and they always did everything and anything they could for me. And nobody could really understand fully what was going on. I couldn't understand what was going on. So as a teenager, I quickly fell into a lifestyle of using and abusing drugs. I turned to the streets, and I turned to people that I thought were people that cared for me and had my best interest at heart. And they didn't, it was, when I look back now, we were all suffering from something, things that were going on, and everyone was kind of looking for that sense of family. And for me, I don't know why I was always looking for it, because I always had it with my adopted parents. It was nothing I was ever deprived of. They never would have walked away. They were always there. I think for me, being confused, being an adopted child, I just had a lot that I had to work through. So at the age of 17, I got pregnant with my first child. And that's where I kind of say I started my journey, a journey that I'm still on now. I chose to start making changes. I chose to make changes that I knew were going to be in the best interest of myself and my child, because I didn't want my child being a product of, I didn't want my child having to be adopted or having to be taken away. So I ended up going on to get my healthcare aid diploma. From there, I did some palliative care. And then I ended up working in the field with women in prison. I was in corrections for almost a decade. Really enjoyed my job, very much enjoyed my job. But during the course of that, 10 years, noticed the lack of empathy, the lack of understanding and education around mental health, around really the core issues that a lot of women face. And I started looking into things a little bit deeper because I wasn't feeling like I was fulfilling what I could be doing while I was there. My job was an officer, and as an officer, you really don't. Sorry, my dog's gonna bark. as an officer, you don't really have the opportunity to sit and have heart-to-heart conversations with these women, which is something I very much enjoy doing. And so that's where I chose to look towards peer support. And so peer support for me became known to me when one of my children, I'm a mother of three, one of my children was suffering some significant mental health challenges, and we had really utilized every system, every resource we could here in Manitoba. And so I ended up finding peer support when I was beaten, I was down, I was defeated. There was really nothing left that I thought was going to be helpful. And I remember the conversation that I had with the lady that I had my conversation with, and the feelings instantly of validation, the feelings of the empathizing, and the lived story that I was provided with were such a relief. For me to know that somebody else in this world was going through something similar to what I'm going through really made me feel human. It made me feel like I wasn't alone. It gave me hope. It gave me empowerment feelings that I could continue, because I really was deflated. I was really in a spot where I didn't think I could go on. We've done everything and we've tried everything, right? So for me, it was huge. I say peer support saved my life. I don't say anything ill towards doctors, but I've seen many doctors, I've seen many psychiatrists, we've seen many counselors, and everyone has a job, and everyone has an important job. When I was provided peer support, it was such a different and unique experience. And so now, myself as a peer support worker, I'm able to engage with folks without an agenda. I'm able to have these conversations, meeting people where they're at, and really listening and empathizing with what's going on for them. Not trying to change them, not trying to, tell them what to do or how to do it. Really just being there to have that conversation and let them know that somebody cares.
Wow. So what is your relation with Robin then? I'm curious.
So Robin has offered me peer support in the past. And I mean, I've done some courses with Robin. I met Robin at a time where things were still pretty rocky. And I quite often say things are still pretty rocky in my life some days. But Robin became a very important person in my life, in the sense of Robin's ability to really listen and just be there in moments that I didn't think I could go on. I didn't know what to do. I didn't think I could go on. I know that Robin was there for one of my children at an extremely at an extremely imperative moment where my child was going to take her life, and the conversation that Robin engaged in with my child changed that. So Robin is not only someone I look towards for peer support, but she's a very, very dear friend of mine, and holds a very special place in my heart.
Woo, Robin. My thoughts are like, Jana's story is amazing. In your eyes, Robin, what did you see in Jana that she could be this person that she is today?
I think what I saw in Jana is someone that wanted to make a difference in the world. In terms of the conversations I had with Jana when we first met, were about, I came through a lot, and like being able to share that, like her story about being able to talk with someone who had a similar story and gain courage and the ability to go after what she wanted, and to see her and the way she relates to other people is a blessing. And so, I was doing some work with Peer Connections Manitoba, who are formerly the Manitoba Schizophrenia Society, and we had a number of jobs coming up. They got a contract through the Manitoba government to deliver peer support at the Crisis Response Centre here in Winnipeg for people who are dealing with a mental health crisis. And they're also doing some work in a Dauphin emergency room. And we had these jobs coming up, and I reached out to Jana and I said, I know you have this really secure career in corrections, but I think this is your calling. And Jana didn't hesitate to like go after that. And watching her with individuals who are struggling themselves, or hearing about her connections with families, because as Jana said, she has a couple of kids who have struggled themselves and are still dealing with their own addiction and mental health things. Watching her be courageous and share her story and open herself up and be vulnerable and just sit with people is just, that's the piece for me about getting our human back on. That human connection makes the difference for people, a world of difference. So Jana, it's like this honor and privilege to be part of your life, and having that conversation with your kid, I will never forget that, because that changed me as well, being able to be in a conversation and like have someone change their mind. Not that my job is about trying to stop someone doing something, but just being able to be there and hear where she was at and sit in that conversation. Yeah, so it's amazing. It's a privilege being part of your life and having you be part of our business, because I know that sometimes you help us out with courses and stuff as well. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, both of you. And maybe just to wrap up, Jana, to you, words of wisdom for others out there, maybe going through the same thing that you went through. Help them.
Honestly, words of wisdom. It's a journey, and it's definitely not an easy journey. It's scary. It's terrifying, and allowing yourself to be vulnerable with others is something that I'm very much still in the process of getting comfortable with and doing. I can say, though, with 100% certainty, the types of conversations and the types of interactions that somebody will have in a peer support situation will be very different than other types of conversations that you might find in, you know, healthcare facilities or, you know, even in crisis centers with, you know, with the medical teams. Allowing yourself to be vulnerable, allowing yourself to share your story and tell your story, and listening to other people tell their story, for me is so healing. I had an interaction earlier today where a gentleman and I interacted, and his story was so healing for me that we both at the end of the phone call said, you know, like, I've gotten something from you and you've gotten something from me. And that's what it's about, right? It's about being human and having that conversation, and just allowing yourself to speak from the heart and listen from the heart wholeheartedly, without any judgment, offering hope and self-determination for people. That's a huge piece of it as well.
Oh. Well, thank you so much, Jana. And as always, Robin, you're the master.
Thanks.
So I'd say I've learned empowerment, self-determination, love, and hope, all human traits that we need to get back in our lives. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me today.
We want to thank all of our special guests on today's show and leave you with this question. What are you looking forward to the most this spring? We want to know, so send us an email to hello@ilikehugh.com or message us on Facebook and Instagram at ilikehugh. But for now, stay safe and healthy, and we'll see you next time on Hugh at Home.
Listening. This has been a production of ilikehugh.com. Podcast distribution from the Sound Off Media Company.
Hi, this is Candace Sampson, the voice behind What She Said. My show is your destination for stories that not only entertain, but also educate and empower. Every week, I spotlight strong female voices from across Canada. Women who are changing the narrative and driving change. Don't miss out on these inspiring episodes. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music, or head over to whatshesaidtalk.com.
What She Said can also be heard on blasttheradio.com, Mondays at 5 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. That's blasttheradio.com.
It's time to dive into the stories that truly matter.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.